Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. And I hate to ask you to do this again today, but I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray today over a very special prayer. Today's the 15th, and I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news, but today's a very, very focused day on what's going on in Paris today, having to do with Israel. I'm not going to get into all the details of it. If you've kept up with it, you know what I'm talking about. But the scripture clearly tells us to pray for Israel. And those who bless Israel will be blessed. Now, I have confidence in my Lord. I've studied scripture, and I know that God always comes through for Israel. They're called to repent sometimes for the things they do, but he's always showed back up in their life because that's his chosen ones. And if God loves Israel, I love Israel. Amen. And so there's a little bit of selfishness in this prayer today, if I must be honest with you, is because I believe those who curse Israel will be cursed. And so as we pray today, we're not just really praying for Israel only, but we're praying for our nation. Our nation needs a revival. It needs a great move of God. And we're praying for Israel that there will be awakening of a revival in Israel. And so things that could happen today could affect Israel in a major way and take their land basically. And so today I want us to pray over that, but I want us to pray with passion today, not just because, hey, pastor says pray for Israel. No, I want us to pray with passion today. Now, what do I mean by passion? I mean that we have a heart for what God has a heart for. And I really believe that today. So I want you to grab the hand next to you and let's just go to the Lord in prayer today. And allow God just to pray through you today and speak through you today. Father, we just pray for Israel today. We know, God, that your hand is upon her. We know, God, that you've called her blessed. We know that that nation, Lord, will stand, God, regardless of what comes against it, God. But today, God, your word declares over us, if we bless Israel, Lord, today, then we shall be blessed. So as we come and pray today, God, we're praying, God, for an intervention, Lord, for those, Lord, that are in power in the U.S., that are sitting at the table today, God, that are there today, God. We pray, God, for an intervention, Lord, that the course would be changed, that there would be a heart for the things of God, that somehow, God, you would step into that place today and interrupt the meeting, Lord, with the presence of God today, and that the hearts of people would be changed, Lord, God. And we just really believe, God, that Israel today, God, we're just praying for a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit upon that land, God. Pour out your Spirit like never before, Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, for America to wake up, to arise, oh God. We pray, God, for a shaking in our nation, God. We pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shout it, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to just ask in advance before I get too far that the men of the church would bless our beautiful ladies by staying around today and pulling some chairs out and setting up tables and preparing for them. We want to bless them, and we don't want them to come here and have to set up tables and chairs for tonight, so we want to bless them. So please hang around and do that. It would be appreciated. So over the last few weeks, God's really been talking to our hearts and leading up to the new year. And there's been some amazing things going on. And I don't know if you got a chance to be at the night of worship, but it was phenomenal. And it was phenomenal because the presence of God was there.
Amen.
I've talked to several people, and they were just talking about how God so beautifully orchestrated that night. And how God just came in and lives were touched. There's been testimonies that have been given of people's marriages being healed and people's lives being touched. And it was just an amazing night. And then over the weekend, through Sunday before with Ron and then with Super here last week, there's been some prophetic words that are given to our house and given to you probably personally. And I do believe that God wants to do those things. I believe that we're living in a place of anointing, a special anointing of breakthrough. Everybody shout breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
And I've heard that word over the years in my life, and I've heard people preach about breakthrough. But I believe and I sense in my spirit that this is a year of supernatural encounters with God that bring breakthrough in our lives.
Amen.
Now, I want to narrow the focus of that just for a moment or two because A lot of times when we think about breakthrough, we can get in a very selfish position of thinking about breakthrough and just narrow it down something like personally in my life breakthrough. And I do believe God wants to do things personally in our life, but I believe God uses us to have breakthrough for people who does not even know that there's breakthrough happening. I believe that we set a table before the Lord, and then he sets a table before us, and we come to the table. And at that table, we have a union with God and a relationship with God that affects everything around us. Is anybody with me today? Amen. And so God wants to not just give me a breakthrough. He wants to give this region and this nation a breakthrough. How many agree with that? How many are with me today that believe that this is the year of breakthrough in our lives? Anybody with me today on that? And I believe we're going to experience greater breakthrough than ever before. And it's very important to pay close attention to the word of God that has been spoken concerning the word new. Concerning the word new. Jonathan Super was here with us in December, and he released this word over our house that we were not coming into a next, but we were coming into a new. And then I was a few weeks ago with Mike Heyman, pastor at Healing Church, and I was at their staff development where he was speaking over their staff, and he said, God's not doing a next, God's doing a new. I've heard this out of several people, and so I believe that when God's speaking something regionally, and when God's speaking something probably through our nation, then we ought to be paying attention, right? And so as we pay attention to what God is speaking, there is something that goes along with that that feels very important. We cannot manufacture a move of God. Amen. God doesn't want us to manufacture a move of God. If there's going to be a move of God, it's going to be sovereign and he's going to do it. Amen. And I will take, for example, the night of worship. There was a lot of planning and a lot of time and a lot of effort went into that by a team of people putting it together. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, the bottom line was, is that God stepped in and God did what he wanted to do in the place. Amen. And so for there to be an experience or an expression of the Holy Spirit to move like it wants to move, there has to be this time where we say, okay, I'm going to do what God's called me to do because I'm going to prepare a way for God to do what he said he would do. Now, as we move into this time in our lives, both personally, regionally, and nationally, there's something that's very important that we understand. God does not want us to do something that resembles something of yesterday, to recreate or to have something that looks like something we've already done. That's not what we're looking for. And I want to help you today because it's very easy for us to go try to do something that's already been done, I remember a season. You heard me preach this a few years ago. I remember a season of my life where God was moving this, and so I'm going to get on that same thing and do that again myself, and that usually doesn't work very well. But if God's bringing the new, then you're trying to operate out of old. Is anybody with me today? So it's important for us to understand that there's a difference between working and trying to bring something to pass and striving for something and just being obedient to what God is speaking. We don't have to work that up. A lot of striving can go into building the kingdom of God, and we end up with not what he wants because we've worked for something we thought he wanted when it wasn't at all what he wanted. And so we've manufactured something that wasn't of God. So we're coming to a place of the unexpected expectation. Amen. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but a place of unexpected expectation. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to come about, but I have an expectation that God's about to do something that's going to blow my mind. I know for some of us that's not a very big explosion, but God's about to do something that's going to blow our mind. It's going to be bigger than we ever thought, and I want you to pay close attention to me today. It's going to be bigger than anything that we've ever seen or done. It's going to be more amazing than anything we've ever seen or done. It's going to be crazy how huge this is going to be. But it's not nothing we've ever seen before. And if we try to recreate it, we're just going to have what we already had. And then it's not going to be really what God was wanting to do. And we're going to be back at the same place, scratching our head, wondering, where is God? I'm going to slow down. I kind of preached fast last service, and I think I've lost a few people, so I'm slowing it down a little bit. So there's a huge, big difference between striving and going on our own and hearing a sound from heaven. Hearing a sound from heaven and obeying.
Amen. Amen.
God's grace for our life is for our salvation is all we need. We're not saved by our works. You're not going to get saved by your good works. You know, you're not ever going to be good enough for the grace of God. And sometimes we hear that word, you're not going to be good enough for the grace of God, and we start thinking, well, what am I good enough for? But here's the thing about God. You're good enough.
Amen.
I'm going to give you some Holy Spirit oxymorons today. You're good enough because God loves you.
Amen.
It's not your self-approval, but it's His approval. But He created you for His purpose. So you're good enough.
Amen.
I was speaking to someone in the store yesterday, and we were talking about a situation, and they were saying, well, you know, we strive, and you just try to get good enough, and we try to... Then we look at our failures and we think, well, you know what? I'm just not getting this. I can't do this God thing. And we miss everything that God wants to do because we're trying to achieve something that we can't achieve. But here's what happens. When we say yes to God,
amen,
yes to the work of God, yes to whatever He's doing and what He's speaking, all of a sudden, the not so good part of us comes into alignment. I was telling them, like, you know what? We say, well, yeah, I wasn't good enough yesterday. Here's my issue. I might not be good enough in a few minutes if that guy pulls out in front of me because I might lose it. Oh, I know none of y'all do that, only the pastor. But honestly, let's be real. Can we be real? If we were perfect, if we had to reach this place of perfection for God to use us, wouldn't any of us get used? The good thing about God is God's not looking for our perfection. He's looking for our obedience.
Yes.
He's not looking for our work, but He expects work out of us.
Yes.
He's not condemning us. He's encouraging us.
Amen.
He don't condemn. He convicts. What does conviction do? Conviction leads us to repentance and to His heart to get in order with what He's doing in our life. It draws us into His heart.
Mm-hmm.
Striving pushes us away from God. Oh, I feel like the little engine that could, you know. I just wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Thank you for setting that up for me. There's a difference between, hey, I'm going to have a good positive thought and saying I'm going to step into the promise of God.
Amen.
God's grace is free. He loves us. His word tells us to take no thought of tomorrow. Don't be worried about the tomorrow. Don't be striving about the tomorrow. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. I just want to pray over anxiety today. I'm serious. All the people thinking, you know, I just want so much good to happen in my life, but I just can't get there. This happens, that happens, this is bad, that's bad. Listen, that's not God's plan for your life.
Right.
He said, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Come by your head right now. Let me pray over anxiety right now. Father, I just pray right now for anxiety and fear. I just pray right now that we can understand, God, that You love us and that You created us and that You know what's best for us. And that when we say yes to You and step into Your promises, God, yes, there's going to be storms, but you're going to carry us through the storms. Yes, there's going to be trials, but You're going to carry us through the trials. Yes, there's going to be persecution, but God, we embrace that because it's going to better us because we've said yes. We remove all the fear, all the anxiety, all the stress off of our life. And we say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I belong here. This is my place in the kingdom of God. I want to speak to somebody right now. Quit comparing yourself. The portion that God has given you is enough. And your portion is not like somebody else's portion. Don't compare your portion with someone else's portion. Trust God for what he put in your life is good. That's a good word.
Amen.
Everybody say no striving.
No striving.
But here's what I want to talk to you about today. Preparation. That was a setup for what I want to talk about is preparation. There comes a place in our life when we've heard a prophetic word over life that there has to be a place of preparation. You have to prepare yourself for the word of God that's on your life. 2 Kings, and I'm speaking out of the message today, I like the way that it said this. It said, he then said God's word. He then said God's word. This is the prophet speaking. He said, dig ditches all over this valley and wait, and it will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain, but the valley is going to fill up with water, and your armies and your animals will drink their fill. I want you to say with me this today. You won't hear the wind, and you won't see the rain, but it's coming. So much of what we do is we go by our feelings. Well, how was church today? Well, I really didn't feel like going. How was worship today? I really just didn't feel it. How was this? I didn't feel. Listen, you need to let go of your feelings and start doing what God's called you to do. I sing because I'm happy. Well, I ain't always singing because I'm happy. Sometimes I'm singing because I want to get happy. Sometimes I worship because I'm pressing in.
Amen.
It's funny, you can get in the car or go to the eat after church. Somebody says, man, I felt this. And I'm like, I didn't feel that. You see, because the wind blows where God needs it to blow. And sometimes our feelings, we live by our feelings. And God says, hey, I want you to live by your faith, not your feelings.
Amen.
You see, so oftentimes our feelings are like a sailboat, and when the wind's blowing, the sailboat moves. But faith is like a steam engine. It presses through things,
yeah,
even in the difficult times.
Yeah.
You say, Pastor, you don't like to feel God? Oh, yeah. That's Lanyap. I like to feel God. And when God moves, hallelujah, I like to feel God. But if I don't feel him, he hasn't changed. But what I do know today is that when God gives me a word, I have to prepare myself for the word that's been given. So he said, go dig some ditches. And if I could title this sermon today, I don't really title my sermons, but if I had a title today, I want you to remember this. Digging ditches in dry places. Digging ditches in dry places. Digging ditches when it don't seem like it's going to happen. Digging the ditches with places where it's desert and there's no rain coming and you don't smell the rain, you don't see the rain, you don't hear the rain, but you got a word from God and the word of God says, go dig a ditch.
Amen.
And when he says, go dig a ditch, you better find you a shovel.
Amen.
And you start digging. What are you doing? I'm preparing myself for the word of the Lord.
Amen.
God's about to do something awesome. And there's going to be people saying, have you lost your mind? Have you lost? What are you doing? I'm digging a ditch. It's about to rain.
Amen.
I don't know if you're seeing what I'm seeing. No, I don't have to see it. I heard it. God gave me a word. I'm digging some ditches. It's a dry place. I'm digging ditches. When we pray for God to give us a breakthrough, we need to put some time in to the preparation for the breakthrough.
Amen.
Well, God gave me a word, and it didn't come to pass, so I'm discouraged. Yeah, well, you didn't dig a ditch. Faith is a call to action. Faith is a call to action. It takes faith to do what God has called you to do. It's an action word.
Right.
Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. When God speaks, whether it be through his word, which I'll be talking about next week, or it's a word from the prophetic word of a man or woman, when God speaks that, then that word takes preparation for the fulfillment of it.
Amen.
Faith is the birthing in the heart of the prophetic spoken over your life. When we hear it, then we respond to that word by doing what we've been called to do. Faith is more than just sitting on your hands and saying, well, you know what, God, you know, I got a word from God. God's going to bless me. God's going to pour out abundance on me. Yes, sir. Sit right there, shovel. Yep. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting on a blessing. Yep. I'm sitting here waiting. They that wait upon the Lord. I'm waiting. Before long, my phone's ringing. Well, God said, and he didn't show up. I don't know what to do, Pastor. But today, I'm telling you what to do. Dig a ditch.
Amen.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you to get ready to receive something supernatural in your life. Get your shovel out and begin to make a place for God to feel. God's faithful to his word. I can promise you one thing. If he said he's going to do it, I guarantee you. As them Cajuns say, I guarantee. God's about to do something good. You know, the Lord gave Noah a word. This is the word. He said, look, Noah, I'm going to save you and your family. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he said, I'm going to give you and your family a blessing. I'm going to save your family. He said, I want you to build an ark. I'm just going to destroy the earth, the flood. I want you to build an ark. And so, first of all, let's put this in perspective. He said it's going to rain and flood the earth. It never rained, so that was a pretty unexpected thing. It's going to rain? There was no reference. We got plenty of references around here of flooding and rain. But Noah didn't have any references. He had a word. And you got to understand this. I mean, if I told the church today we're supposed to have 5 years of drought and South Louisiana is going to become like a desert, you'd say, whatever. We wouldn't expect that. It's a swamp. We don't have a reference to that. Are you following what I'm saying? And God was saying, hey, it's about to rain. I'm about to pour out a rain. It's going to flood the earth. But I'm going to save you and your family because you found grace. But I want you to build an ark. But God didn't just tell Noah to go build an ark and let him figure out how to build it and go striving and working hard. And, man, how am I going to build an ark? I don't even know what an ark is. How am I going to build a church? How am I going to build this family? How am I going to build this thing? How am I going to do what you're calling me to do? God never gives you a word without a blueprint. Well, God didn't give me a blueprint. Well, did you stay long enough to get it? He wants you to sit at his feet and get the blueprint. Sit at his feet and hear the voice of God. And a lot of his blueprints going to be between the pages of that Bible. And so let's put that passage of scripture up. So he tells Noah, said, I want you to build an ark. He said, go build an ark, build it out of gopher wood. He's very specific. Make room in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Go on. And this is how you're going to make it. And this is the length. It's going to be 300 cubic feet. It's going to be 50 cubic feet wide. And it's going to be 30 cubic feet high. He said, I'm going to give you a blueprint. Sometimes we don't understand the things of God because we don't wait for the blueprint. And then we're expecting God to do all the work when God said, I got something for you to do to be a part of this miracle.
Right.
Am I helping anybody today?
Yes.
2 Kings 5. Elisha sent out a message to him saying, go dip in the Jordan River. You got leprosy, I hear. I love this story. Because he had this great expectation that the man of God was going to come in and do some praise God over him and wave his hand over him and anoint him with oil. And the man of God didn't even come out to see him. Well, I can preach about that a little bit. Preacher didn't even call me.
Get
I ain't God. You got a word from the Lord, get after it. He said, go dip in the Jordan River. I ain't dipping in that muddy river. That place is nasty. I'm not going to dip. There's plenty of rivers I can go dip in without going dipping in the nasty Jordan River. I'm not going that river. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm glad he had a little handmaiden that was holier than him. She must have been praying. And she said, what's wrong with you? You're dying with leprosy. But God didn't just tell him to go dip in the river. He told him to go dip how many times? So I got a feeling if he'd have went down and said, oh, this is nasty. One dip, oh, I'm out. He just had leprosy. He had to do what God had called him to do. He had to obey the thing that God spoke over his life to do. And I believe that when he dipped in the seventh time that he came out, the scripture says that his skin was like a newborn. It was like a child's skin. God's always going to keep his word when we do our part of obeying what he's called us to do. 2 Kings 5. So he went and dipped in seven times in the Jordan according to the word and the man of God. And the flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Luke 5, I'm sorry. And when they had finished speaking, he said, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we have fished all night long and we ain't caught nothing. Paraphrased. We're professional fishermen. This is what we do, Jesus. Have you ever caught any fish, Jesus? Because we know how to fish. We can build a church, Jesus. We went to 4 conferences last year. We got a plan, Lord. We don't need you to tell us how to fish. Go do some miracles. We got this. No, that's not what they said. They said, Lord, at your word. Lord, at your word. Lord, at your word. He said, get your nets and just put them on others. I know they were probably thinking, Lord, this boat is only this wide. We were fishing on that side. Now you want us to fish on that side. What's the big deal?
Obedience.
At your word, Lord. They grabbed their nets and they threw their nets on the other side of the boat. And guess what? They had so many fish, they had hey, come on, boys. Come help. Bring that other boat. We're sinking. Come on. There was an unexpected expectation when they obeyed the word of the Lord. At the moment, they said yes. It was more than they can handle. If you want more than you can handle, you just need to say yes to what God is saying. If you want the supernatural in your life, don't say, hey, God. No, just get the nets out, throw them on the other side of the boat, and get ready because something supernatural is about to happen in your life. Can I get a good amen?
Amen?
Yes, Lord. You know, fish didn't jump in the boat. Fish didn't jump in the boat. Somebody say the fish didn't jump in the boat. I was thinking about showing y'all a video to make y'all laugh, but I decided not to. You've seen them guys driving them boats down and the fish are flying out of the water and jumping in the boat, hitting them? Yeah, I don't know what does that, but that ain't what was happening in this situation. They've been fishing all night. The fish didn't jump in the boat. There was this little four-letter word that had to take place for the fish to get in the boat. W-O-R-K. Work. Well, Pastor, you told us not to strive. I did. You said we can't work for your faith, for your relationship with God, for your salvation. It's a gift. But there's something that God wants out of us to produce what he wants in us. And it takes putting your hand to the plow. The Bible says a man put his hand to the plow and turned back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I have never plowed before, and I don't want to start tomorrow. But I promise you, it's work. How many has ever plowed behind a plow in here? And we got anybody old enough to put them behind a plow? Okay. Hey, I expect that's work. I just got a feeling that's work. I heard somebody talking about the plow. My name was Ron talking about the plow the other day. Said the plow, you don't look down at the plow when you're working. You look out in front of you. You get out beyond you. You see, when you get a vision of what God wants to do in your life, it's beyond you, but you got to keep your hand on the plow. It's beyond your ability. It's beyond but you get your hand on the plow and you say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And guess what happens? God produces what you can't do. This is the year of breakthrough. This is the year of miracles. This is the year God's going to fill our boat. This is the year we're going to have more than we've ever had before. This is the year we're going to see the dead raised. Anybody with me today? Anybody believe this is the year we're going to see people get out of wheelchairs? Anybody believe this year the blinded eyes are going to be open? Anybody believe this is the year your bank account's going to be full? Does anybody believe with me? Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. He said, this is the year that Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. But there were two things that had to happen in the natural for the supernatural to happen. Amen. Number one, he said, roll away the stone. Well, don't you think God could have rolled away the stone if he could raise the dead? He could have said, stone, be moved. Chip. Matter of fact, he didn't even have to move the stone. He could have just said, I say to Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus just peered out through the stone. But God wanted them to get involved in the miracle of their life. And so he said, roll away the stone. And then there was a supernatural that happened after the stone was rolled away and Lazarus had come from the tomb. He said, take the grave clothes off of him. Loose him and let him go. God's going to use us in this generation, in this season of life, when he spills the supernatural, then he's going to say in the spirit realm, loose them and let them go.
Yes.
Loose them and let them go. He's saying, I believe the dead's going to be raised. Roll away the stone. Take the time to stop in the grocery store and speak to them. Take the time to stop when after they've been raised from the dead and spend some time discipling them. And removing the grave clothes off of them. Everybody say work. I love the story of the guys tore off the roof. I'd want to be one of those guys. That's like a cool thing to do right there. Hey, man, we can't get to Jesus. You know, my wife probably would have never been that person because she wouldn't have wanted to tear off their roof. You know, like, hey, we can't tear the roof off. You can't park over there. You can't go in that room. What some people might have thought were rebellion was really a miracle at work. They said, come on, let's tear the roof off. We got to get this man to Jesus. You know what? It wasn't about them at all. When we're going to see the supernatural happen is when we're going to tear the roof off some things, and it's not going to be about us. It's going to be about somebody else. The ditch you're digging today is not always about you. It's about somebody else's life. Because God wants us to live out of the overflow of his spirit. And before we can capture the miracle, there has to be room for God to work. If we want new wine, we have to go get the water pots. Oh, we want the new wine. We'll go get the water pots. The oil won't run out as long as there's vessels. As long as there's a place to put the oil won't run out. It's when we stop doing our part that God stops doing his part. Are anybody with me today? Anybody with me today? And so God's saying in this time, he's saying, I want you to get some shovels and I want you to start digging. I want you to start digging some places for the move of God. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, you know what? I only had two shovels last service. I don't know who went and got the other one because I was thinking the whole time I had two. I wished I had three. because I would label them. Prayer. Come on here and get this prayer shovel right here. Prayer. Come here, Jason. I want you to get this shovel. It's called the Word. And this is the shovel that none of us like. It's called fasting. Well, here. Come on, Brandon, you come here and get this prayer shovel. Can I just be real right here? No, you don't have it yet. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like, in the natural, I don't like a shovel. I don't like shovels, period. I don't want to dig nothing. If I got more than 10 feet to dig, truth is, if I got more than 2 feet to dig, I want a ditch witch.
You already know.
I don't like shovels. I'm not a gardener. I don't like to blow. We bought this house years ago that we're living in. It didn't have any plants around it. It was just grass right up to it. I loved it. It was awesome. Just weedy the whole thing. Cut it. Angela said, we need to put in a landscape. I was like, nah, we put in a landscape. Neither one of us like to do landscaping. Well, it'd make the house look better. I said, you going to keep it up? She said, yeah. That stupid landscape's cost me more money. Thank God for Zachary. I don't like a shovel. I don't like to dig in the dirt. Quite honestly, I don't even like to be dirty. I'm a little diva. I don't like to work on cars. I don't like to get greasy. And therefore, I don't have a garden. And therefore, I have to go buy groceries. I have to go get somebody else's labor. Come on, somebody. I'm about to preach right now. Amen. You want fruit in your garden, but you don't want to dig a well. You want the supernatural in your life, but you don't want to get it out of a shovel. You have expectation, but you don't have investment.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to change churches because I'm not getting fed. Well, that's because you have a bottle in your mouth, and you want somebody to warm your bottle, and you want them to put it in your mouth on every Sunday morning. And you want them to feed you.
Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't like a shovel. Because that's going to take time for me to read the Bible. It's going to take time for me to study that word. It's going to take discipline for me to fast. But I want a miracle. Come on, prophesy over me. Come on, lay hands on me and give me a word. You ain't even dug a ditch for the last word. Why you want another word? The rain's come and gone. All you had was a flash flood. Well, Pastor, that sounds mean. No, I'm preparing us for the supernatural. I'm preparing us for our boats to be loaded down. I'm tired of prophecy without provision. I'm tired of first of the year. Woo, we're going to win the world. And I laughed at the video a while ago. We've already stopped eating the vegetables. I never started. We've already stopped. Listen, this year we're not going to have a reading program. I'm going to give you a reading program this year. Love the Word. Love the Word of God. Fall in love with the Word of God. If you fall in love with the Word of God, you won't need your app to tell you it's time to read your Bible. If you fall in love with prayer, nobody will have to ask you and advertise we're having Monday night prayer. The place will be lined up and people will be passionate about prayer.
Amen.
And when you can't get to prayer meeting, it won't matter because you've been on your face on the floor at 4 o'clock in the morning praying and crying out to God. Why? Because I love to be with God. I love the presence of God. I love to read my Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what happened? You'll even love to fast. If you ever fast for the purpose of fasting and follow, getting away from everything and pushing the plate away and saying, God, I want to know you more. I'm going to get rid of myself so I can have more of you. You'll be like, oh, God, I feel a call to fast.
Right.
You don't have to love to shovel. You just have to shovel. And the more you learn to use the shovel, the more you'll enjoy the shovel. Am I making any sense to anybody today? Because God's going to keep his word. If he said there's a rain coming, he's going to send a rain. And when God said there's going to be a revival, guess what? There's going to be a revival. And you can say, well, I didn't see no revival. That's because you didn't have no hole for it to get in. It came by you. It was a flash flood. But God's putting, what is that? Fasting. Prayer. Come over here. Don't get so far away. You got to have community too. And you got to have prayer, fasting, the word. Sometimes you need to trade shovels. Here, you dig with that a little while. No, you've had that long enough. Here. Well, actually, the truth is you probably need all three of them. Well, I feel a preach coming on. Well, you just read the Bible for me. No, you read the Bible for yourself. No, you fast for me. No, I can't fast for you. And you got to dig your own hole. You got to get ready for your own provision. You got to get ready for God to do something supernatural in your life. What is your preparation for the miracle, for the prophetic over your life? Have you believed God for the supernatural? Have you believed that God said it's going to rain? Then you don't look. You don't have to smell it. You don't have to hear it. You just got to prepare for it. Because if you wait till the rain comes, it's going to be too late.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, if you try to dig a hole in the mud, it takes twice as long to dig. So it's in the dry times. God said it. I'm digging a hole. Noah, you look stupid building that boat. Yeah. Who gonna look stupid later?
Say that again.
All you do is pray. Come on, you ever been around people after you got a passion for prayer? They say, don't you do anything besides pray? No, I love it. You fast all the time? What? I've even had people tell me, it's close friends of mine, that why are you fasting again? Because I love God. Why do you need to fast? Because I'm carnal. I need to get rid of me. I'm killing this old flesh. I'm digging a hole. I may not hear it, but God said it. It's coming. And I'm making preparation for it. We have a new baby that's going to be born. Most of us take the time out of our lives. We go in a room and we put the crib up. We paint the wall. We put little cute things on the wall. If it's a girl, we paint it pink. If it's a boy, we paint it blue. If we don't know, we paint it all kinds of colors. We put a little crib up. We have showers. People bring us things. What are we doing? We're preparing for the birth of something. But we don't prepare for the birth of the Holy Spirit. We don't get our room ready, and then we wonder why God left us out. God didn't leave you out. He just comes to prepared places. He's looking for people that just won't just hear prophetic word, but they'll prepare for the prophetic to come to pass. I got this awesome car outside. There's one strange thing about it. It won't run on empty. I've prayed over it before. It just don't happen. I got a house full of girls. They like me to go get gas for them. I don't do it all the time. But their cars need gas in them. We don't get in our car and say, God, if you love me, let her run. He said, I love you to go down to the gas station before it went on empty. Preparation for a miracle. Is this fast? Listen. I'm just going to help you today. Don't get in a hurry because I want you to hear this word. How can I say this? I'm just going to say it like it is. When all hell breaks loose in your life, it's too late to fast. Give me that prayer. They're about to open the door, and the lions are coming in, Daniel. Oh, God, don't let the lions eat me, God. He didn't even do that. He just said, okay, I've been praying. It's good. I've already prepared a place. I don't need to cry out to God now. I'm not even scared. Let the lions come. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your fists got thrown in the fire. It's okay. I've had my shovel out. It's good. If I live or if I die, it's all good. Here comes the rain. Oh, my God. Start digging. Hurry. Dig, 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 dig. Too late. Your shovel ought to be in the shelf. When the rain comes, you already got your prayer life done. Am I making any sense to anybody today? Come on. I want to tell you, God is good. God is good. And he don't want us just laboring in vain. He don't want you just digging a hole for the sake of digging a hole. He don't want you. He's not called us just to labor in vain, but he's called us to activate in our life what he's already promised. And I don't want another year to go by that the prophetic words have been released over this house that God's about to do a new thing, and we haven't dug any holes for God to move. God's about to do a new thing, but we haven't prepared a place for God to move. I'm releasing over this house a bunch of people that's gone crazy for God, and that we've got people praying and fasting like never before. We got people after God's heart like never before, and miracles are happening in your life. How many want God? Listen, I've never prophesied this in my 20, 31 years of ministry like I have this year, that God's about to bring provision. Just a few moments ago, my daughter walks up. I don't know where she got this real estate book, but she walked up to me while I go, Hannah, and she said, Dad, look at this house. This is our house. $1.5 million. And my first thought was I said, oh, girl, did you see how much that house is? And then the Lord said, do you want that house? Oh, Pastor, you're not going to be one of those prosperity preachers, are you? You can live poor if you want to. I don't know if God's going to give me $1.5 million, but I believe God's going to bless me in this year. Amen. I'm just using that as an analogy. We live beneath because we don't believe above. We don't dig holes, and then we wonder where God is. We don't say, God, I heard your word, so God, you're about to pour out abundance on me, so God, I'm casting my net over here, and I'm getting ready, God, because I'm going to pull in a big load. He is the God of provision. He is the God. Yeah, the Lord gave you a word two or three times if you go get it, that God's going to give you a house. Are you ready for the house? You got a hole dug for it? All right, awesome. Y'all ready? Am I making any sense to anybody today? If you didn't get this, come see me after church. I'll try to explain it better than I did. I think I'm done. Give me the shovels. Expecting the unexpected. Worship team, y'all can come. How many wants God to work in your marriage this year? Raise your hand. That don't mean you're divorced. That don't mean you're about to divorce. That means you want a better marriage. That would be everybody that's married ought to raise their hand. How many wants God to work in your marriage this year? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Hey. Here's some shovels. How many wants God to work in your children this year? Here's some shovels. How many wants to see God heal some people this year? How many want your bank account to be full? How many just wants to tell Jesus you know how to fish and keep on doing the same old thing, catching nothing? Not me. I'm throwing my net on the other side because I feel like I'm in the place of jubilee, of rejoicing, of more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. Come up here, the bears. Come up here. I'm calling up a family because I want to represent.
Amen.
A family that shovels together. Come on. You can dig a bigger hole with more people. Come on, man of God. Tell him, say that out louder. Stop. Say it out louder, what you just said to him. Start digging, son. Get to digging, brother. Get to digging. That ought to be our thing. Get to digging. Get to digging. God's about to do something new in your life. Woo! Come on, if that's you today, won't you stand on your feet and begin to rejoice in the Lord today? Begin to rejoice in the Lord. You can take those to Pastor Jason. Take them to Jason. Take them to Jason. Woo! I'm glad y'all came to second service. Because today God's going to do something in this service he's never done before in our lives. He said, what was that? He opened up some mindsets today. I'm not striving. I'm not laboring in vain. I'm not going to go out and do something. Listen, don't. If God didn't call you to go do something, don't go do it. God didn't call. Don't go casting out devils in places God didn't call you to go and get beat up. Because that wasn't your calling. I'm not going to go to Africa and say, I take authority over Africa, because God ain't give me authority over Africa. I'm going to come back with a witch doctor hanging around my neck. But you know what God gave me? He gave me this region. And I'm not going to let no devil take this. I'm going to dig some holes. God gave me this wife. He gave me these girls. Gave me a new son-in-law. I'm going to dig some holes. We're going to have provision. I'm not going to strive. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm trying to make a name for the kingdom. I'm not trying to just create a river for me. I'm trying to create a river for the river of God to flow through. I go back to my text today. He said, and all of your family, all your armies, and all of your cattle are going to drink as much as they want. There's going to be more than enough. There's going to be more than enough. And this is the season of more than enough. I'm releasing over this house more than enough. I'm releasing over this house blessing upon your life. I'm releasing over this house that God's going to say, God, in your marriage, he's going to heal. In your kids, he's going to redeem. In your situation, he's coming through. God's doing a greater thing. Miracles. Miracles are going to happen. If you're in this place today and you want God to use you, we did this last week, but I'm doing it again. You want God to use you. You want to see miracles in your life. You want to see the dead raised. You want to see the blinded eyes open. You want to see the deaf ears unstopped. You want to see the lost saved, which is the greatest miracle of all.
Yes.
You want to be a, you, and that's something you want. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hand. Whatever God's called you to do, royal family is going to be bigger than it's ever been. God's going to bring more provision than ever. Why? Because you're walking in your calling. Songwriters, singers are going to write songs and sing songs like never before, because they're going to walk in their calling. They've dug a ditch. The prophetic word is released on their life. We're going to walk through the hospitals, and God's going to anoint us to walk through the hospitals and partner with doctors and nurses for his kingdom. We're going to walk alongside bankers, and bankers are going to partner with us to fund the kingdom of God. They're going to say, we want to be a part of what you're doing. Why? Because we dug some holes and it's full of water. And they're looking, they're saying, oh, those other things are dry places, but there's water flowing out of this. There's a river over here. How many believes this is what the word of God says? He stored up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. God's about to open the doors, the coffers are opening, and he's going to release upon us the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God.